Well, it is 6:30. I know there are a couple people making their way down, but I want to thank you all for being here, especially nice crowd, and thank you for your flexibility, and appreciate that, and you all as well. Couple things. We have a couple special thanks to candidates, especially for being here, staff and public. Appreciate your coming and participating. Mindy Walker is our moderator tonight. She is our, come on in, you're right on time. She is our MSTA member service coordinator, drives down from Maryville, so we appreciate her making the trip down here. Trenton Republican Times, wave your hands. They are co-sponsors for this. Appreciate your involvement in this. Hy-Vee donated some nice meals for the candidates that they'll get to take with them. So, and it's that kind of community and public support that helps move our district forward. So we really do appreciate all of that. We do have two candidates who were not able to be here. Jason Hosteller is running unopposed for a one-year term, and Josh Schuler is running for the three-year term. They both sent statements and addressed some of the topics that we put out there. So as you leave, we've got Wanda has those. So we've got statements from both of those candidates, and I'm sure that if you have questions for them, you could reach out to them individually. I'm sure that they would be willing to speak with you. So I will turn it over to Mindy.
All right.
Thank you.
As Charlie said, my name is Mindy Walker, and I've been working with the Missouri State Teachers Association for 19 years and probably had Trenton for 15 of those years. So I really appreciate you allowing me to come and be the moderator for this event, and I appreciate you guys coming and taking the time to listen to what they have to say. School board is a pretty thankless job, but it's quite important, as you all know, those of you who are educators yourself, and if you're not an educator and you're married to one, you understand that as well. So thank you for being here, and thank you for being there, and I'm going to go ahead and just get started with, I was given the information by Charlie that was gathered from people who wanted to send in questions, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So each candidate will have 5 minutes to introduce yourself and state why you are running and what your goals are as a school board member. So if you want, I don't care where we start. Should we go ladies first and then
sure.
Just work our way down? All right, I'm going to set my timer here for 5 minutes. And if you'll start, please.
Okay. I'm Dorothy Tall. I currently serve on your school board, and I'm the school board president. But I want you to know that tonight I'm speaking as Dorothy Tall, the candidate for school board. So what I'm saying has nothing to do with the school board right now. Okay? Just so you understand, I'm here as a citizen running for your school board. School's very important to me. I'm a retired teacher, and I worked in the mental health field with students that are angry and aggressive in the county surrounding our county, and worked with them, tried to keep them in school and help the teachers with their behaviors. It's my hometown, my school, and I know the importance of education, and that's why I would like to be on the school board. I know that education is the key to a lot of things in our lives. It's so important for students to get a good, solid education in our school districts. Right now, I have grandchildren in all the schools, so I know kind of what's going on in all the school districts. If you ask enough questions of your kids and your grandkids, you kind of know what's going on. And I think it's just good to keep abreast of the things that's in school. Since I'm retired and I'm on the school board, I cannot work in the school at Trenton, so I substitute at Jamesport to kind of keep my finger on all the things that's happening new and different in school districts. So I enjoy my time over there subbing. I sub every week for Jamesport because they have a shortage of subs, like we have a shortage of subs in Trenton. Some of the goals that I have are making sure that our school district is a good school district, that our students are learning and they're career ready, whether they go to the service or they go to the field of work or whether they go to college. I think it's so important that our kids get everything that they need from school. And I know our teachers work very hard to meet all the things that the state says that they have to teach. Plus, they work with the students on all of their issues and drama that they have in school and all the little things that go on that a teacher handles every day that's not written down anywhere for teachers to work for. I do know that there are some things that our school district needs to improve. Although we work on those every year, there's still more things and there's room for improvement. I'd like to see new inventive classes, maybe some new things that we haven't even tried at Trenton R9, some new classes instead of the old regular classes that we always have for electives. So that's me.
Okay. I'm going to turn that off so it doesn't go on. Okay, so in 5 minutes, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Toby Havens. I'm an alumni at Trenton R9, alumni at NCMC. Went to KU, got my bachelor's in Japanese, studied East Asian culture. Education is also very important to me and my family. And I have two daughters in the Trenton R9 school district. And I think we need to get back. Teaching has become a very convoluted profession. There's a lot of different things that teachers and the school board have to deal with, and it involves community. Parents are, of course, huge stakeholders. I feel like they need some very strong and true representation. We need to get back to grassroots in our country as to how we view different aspects of our community, one starting with the school board. And I think that new classes, different classes would be awesome. I think that we have the potential to be a great district where we produce not only functional adults, but adults or people going into career fields that compete on a national or even international level. Those things are kind of forgotten about because they're shrouded out by things that are concerning to parents, things that are concerning to students, and definitely things that are concerning to teachers. And that's not to negate other community members who have grandchildren in the school district or are just interested and concerned because they have a vested interest in the community. And that's why I want to be on the school board. I think that I can bring to the table many different things, if not simply viewpoints, that Trenton R9 can benefit from, hopefully. And I don't say that. I say that with all humility. I really do. I've had a unique adult life. I have had a unique childhood, and education has been so important to me that my daughters don't stop when they come home. We partake in other things that I introduce them to learn, and I would like to see other children have those opportunities as well. If Trenton R9 can get past some of the stuff that is clouding the educational process. And I would love to help with that. I'd love to help with that.
Okay. Turn this off so it doesn't go off in a second. And are you ready?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
Well, my name is Jeff Spencer. I think most of you in the room know me. Born and raised in Trenton. I've been here on and off all my life. Married to Melissa Meek Spencer. We have 5 children. My oldest 2 kids both graduated from Trenton High School. My wife and I both graduated here. I'm an NCMC alumni, and I graduated from the University of Missouri in Columbia, the Law Enforcement Training Institute down there. So education's been very, very important to me and my family. I am a very active member in the Ruledale Baptist Church. My background is predominantly law enforcement for about 29 years now, that and state park management. and I am an active shooter instructor specializing in school safety and school shootings. One of the main reasons I'm running is because I was approached by several people in the community to run. They asked me to run. I have a very common sense approach to being, you know, as a member of the school board. I feel like, obviously, the education of our children is very, very important, and I feel like also the safety and well-being of our children is very important. I think, you know, through the last couple of years, we've experienced quite a few different things with the COVID and things like that. And I know me personally, I think we probably could have done a better job at who we sent home from school and who we didn't. And that was kind of a learning process. But I think what we need to do in the school district is we need to look at everything from an unbiased standpoint, where we just, our main goal is to educate the children and keep them as safe as we possibly can when we do it, both mentally and physically. And I feel like I bring a very common sense approach, you know, if I get elected to the school board.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we're not going to use the timer for the rest, right? They just are going to answer questions.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so I have some questions here to ask. So I'm just, is it okay if we just go in the same, or do you want to mix it up, or do you care?
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay, I just don't want to hammer the same person with the first question every time.
Okay.
If you say it's his turn, that's fine.
Okay.
Actually, why don't we do that? Since I started with you, which that was kind of the easy one, you got a little pass. So I'm going to start with you with the first question, okay? And then we'll just move around. Okay. What do you see as major issues facing our district, and what will be your priorities once in office? And you might have hit on some of this in your introduction, but it's okay to just go ahead and point those out again if you don't want to take a great deal of time answering this. So again, what do you see as major issues facing the district, and what will be your priorities once in office?
It's hard to answer a question like that. What are the major issues with the district? Because no one wants to sit up here and be seem like they're accusing or blaming.
What if it said are the major issues in education? Rural education.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of extracurricular concern, if you will, about things that, like, as I said before, cloud just sheer education. You have, and what I'd like to refer to them as, is violent actors. That's a concern. That's been a concern. Everything going on in the country, just over the years, it's a concern. When I was in school, I was a victim of a violent person. It wreaked havoc on my face. My best friend almost died. This gentleman come back 3 months later, murdered another classmate of mine. That happened all right here in Trenton. Is it possible that something very violent could happen in school? Yes. Should it be a concern? Yes. But as a community, the school board and the teachers in the community need to work together to raise our children in, as Jeff said, a safe and healthy environment, and make sure our teachers have the proper tools to ensure that from day to day. And there's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot that goes into that. And that's just one small thing. The other thing is our parental concerns about what's being taught in the school. There's a lot of concerns that there are going to be things introduced into the school that is not conducive to our conservative Christian community. And I also am active at 10th Street Baptist Church. I'm very much a follower of Christ. My faith is strong. And there's a lot of concern from parents that, and I don't know if I should name them or not, but you probably know what they are. Critical race theory, 1619 Project, are just a couple of the things, much like Common Core that flowed through. And so now there's a House bill. Okay, well, teachers have to put everything online for transparency so the teachers can see what's going on in the community. Is that a bad thing? No. Do we need more government involved? Or do we live in a country where a school board and the community, the school board represents the community, the parents, the teachers, and the student body to ensure that they're getting accurate, true, education so that they can grow up to be fantastically functional adults in the workplace and interact not only in the workplace but with their world that they choose to settle in. And those are just a couple of things that I think the school district deals with. I don't know that there's always room for improvement no matter what you do. So find the problem or fix the problem, not the blame. That's where I come from. Find the problem and come up with viable solutions and present fair representation to major stakeholders, because that's what we're elected to do, and that's what we need to do on the school board. And through that process, things idealistically should be taken care of appropriately.
Okay. Do you want me to read the question again?
Sure.
What do you see as major issues facing the district or rural districts, whatever you want to see it as, and what will be your priorities once in office?
Well, I would agree with Toby as far as naming one particular thing as a problem. I don't think we should do that at all, especially as people who are not members of the board currently. I mean, there's things going on we're not even aware of at this point, I'm sure, that they look at. You know, they're looking at it differently than we are as just voters in the community. You know, obviously one thing I know that is definitely an issue with the district is teacher retention. As most schools are, we have a huge shortage of teachers. I believe you got to look at teacher retention from the top. You got to look at your leadership. You know, in any job or any career you're in, whether you're making top money or not, I mean, you could be the most highest paid individual in that company, but if you're not, you don't feel like you're being supported by the administration, you don't feel like you're being respected, you know, you don't feel like that, again, you're being supported, that administration is out to help you become a better person. Even though you're making top money, you're probably going to leave at some point. So what I mean by that is maybe we're not paying the top salaries in the country, but if we had leadership that was investing into our teachers, they were supported our teachers, and our teachers felt like they were being supported, they liked coming to work every day and everything was going good, they would stick around even though they wasn't making top money. That's human nature. That's life. You know, I would agree. I think we probably have some disciplinary problems in our school. You know, coming from the law enforcement side of things, I see a lot of things that go on in our school district. I personally don't believe that a teacher's job is to come to school and be assaulted every day. And I personally know that there are teachers that come to school every day and they're assaulted. And that's got to stop. We got to get control of that. How, you know, as a group, obviously, and as community input, we've got to figure out what we can do to help our teachers get control of some of these kids. You know, unfortunately, with me having kids in the school district like I do, like I said, I've got two that graduated from here. I also have one that's in seventh grade. I got one in fourth grade and one in second grade. So I have firsthand experience of what goes on in the schools. I see it every day. I hear about it. Our kids are in a classroom setting. One little thing disrupts the entire class for the whole day. We've got to get control of that, and I think that needs to be a priority. That'd be one of my priorities in the district. And I feel like we've got options. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm a big fan of school resource officers. I think that's a need, and I think that's a necessity. I think we need them here. I'd hate to think that times have come to that, but unfortunately, we're there in this country, and that's what we're going to have to do. That would be a priority of mine. You know, I just think that doing everything we can do to provide a good education, as long as we're putting the safety and well-being of the kids in front of everything else, I am 100% against, you know, politics in the classroom. That's not a place for them. That's something that we instill in our kids at home. A teacher's job is to teach our kids the curriculum that's set forth by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, and that's their job. The rest of us left will take care of his parents at home.
Okay. Do you want me to read the question?
Yes, please.
Okay. What do you see as major issues facing the district, and what will be your priorities once in office?
Okay. There's several issues that go clear across the United States. It's not just in Trenton, Missouri. Teacher retention is everywhere. Enough bus drivers is everywhere. I think that if you feel like a student in high school or maybe first or second year of college says, gee, I'm going to be a teacher because they only work 9 months out of the year and they get paid a lot of money, I don't believe that's true. They become teachers because they want to work with students, inspire students, and watch them learn and grow. Teachers have what is called a calling. I truly believe that. And good teachers do it to work with students. Now, salary is big and important. I know they've got to raise their families and pay for their bills and all of that. I looked up in the state of Missouri in Trenton, the median salary is $33,900. And next year, the teachers, first year teacher, will be getting paid $36,000. And they can go across and down on the salary schedule and be at $59,900 at the end of their time here if they stay. As far as retention, I agree with Jeff. The principals in each building need to make that school in a climate that the teachers really feel appreciated and want to come to school and teach. It's a hard job, but every school is run a little different by their principals, and the principals are there every day and see their teachers every day in the hall and in the classroom, and they know what needs to be taken care of to make them feel appreciated and to see that the kids are learning and the teachers are doing their job. And so I think we hire good principals. Our three principals are very good people, and I don't think that they have anything against the community. They want to do a good job. They want to educate kids. They want to make their teachers happy. And they're doing their job as best they can. As far as what Toby said about CRT and the 1618 project, none of that is in the learning curriculum for the state of Missouri. We're not teaching that, and you can get online at the Department of Secondary and Elementary Education, and you can look up what's taught in ELA or what's taught in social studies, and you can see what the kids are learning in every grade. And so that's a good starting point for you to see. If you don't talk to their teacher and ask them, you can look it up on the internet and see what they're learning. I do know that probably PR is a big thing that our district could do a lot better at. Some schools have a PR committee where this person does a lot on Facebook, this one does a lot on Instagram, this person does a lot on Twitter, and the principals and the superintendent of those school districts send out messages every day to those key community members, and they spread it to all the people that's on their site. And that gets PR going throughout the community in different ways. We're not so good at Trenton with PR. I know that that's true. But we have a lot of good things going for us, too. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we'll start with you this time. When making decisions for the district, who do you see as stakeholders in the decisions, and how do you ensure that they have a voice?
Well, obviously, the stakeholders. In my opinion, the first ones would be the parents of the students that are going to school. That's the most important stakeholders. Then obviously you've got the voters in the R9 district are stakeholders. They're paying school taxes. You know, as far as having a voice, you know, like I have at other positions I've held in the community at times, I've got an open door policy. Most everybody's got my phone number. It's easy to get. I don't have a problem with people contacting me on my personal phone or contacting me at home. So, you know, I would obviously be a representative of the tax people, the tax-based people paying, you know, in the R9 district.
When making decisions for the district, who do you see as stakeholders, and how will you ensure that these people have a voice?
Our citizens, our patrons, our taxpayers. And we can all text and email and call. It's America. We live in the best country in the world. We all have the right. No one can stop us from doing that. And you can bet that I hear things about our school that I want to know if it's true or not, and I'm texting and emailing. And so that's everyone's right. And that's the best way to find out. Also, you know, we have what's called protocol and start with the teacher if you have a question, then go to the principal next, then go to the superintendent, then go to the school board. Like a line arrow going from one to the next. So everyone has a right to do that. But I get calls all the time. I had several calls today and tonight about today's thing at school. So we all get a lot of information that way.
Okay. When making decisions for the district, who do you see as stakeholders, and how will you ensure that they have a voice?
Well, I agree with what Jeff and Ms. Hall has said. But a more specific demographic, we have teachers and other staff. Then you have parents. And each one of those, and sometimes you have both. You have teachers who are parents. And each one of those gives you a viewpoint or a starting point from which you approach issues that come up in the school district. Like, as a parent, you're a parent. You love your children. You want the best for them. Not that teachers don't, but teachers come in and they're looking at a different kind of, they're looking at things a little bit differently. They're looking at, for example, how well their students are doing in the classroom, and the material, the lesson plans, is this effective? They should, you know, is this assessment effective? So they come from a different starting point. Yes, as a whole, but they come from a different starting point, and then the student body. And how would I make sure that the community, the parents, the teachers, the student body, all the taxpayers are heard? Yes, having an open door. One huge thing sometimes I think that is missed is being heard. You can speak to me, but am I listening? Am I getting it accurate? Am I making sure that when I come to a school board meeting that I am accurately representing you as a teacher, you as a parent, or concerns of the student? Am I accurately doing that? So listening is huge to make sure that you're heard when you do call. And that's what I want to make sure that I would do if elected to the school board.
Okay. So Ms. Talt, we'll start with you. Please tell us where you stand on teaching the teaching of critical race theory as well as Project 1619.
Okay. As I stated earlier, it's not in the learning standards for the state of Missouri. So that is something that we're not teaching. And until it's approved, we will not be teaching it, as far as I understand. Every once in a while, you know, the new things come along in the schools, new ideas, and so it has to go through a process. So we'll just have to wait and see how this process turns out.
I've caught wind that there are certain things that have circulated through Trenton R9 that do have to do with critical race theory and 1619 Project. And those groups, and I had to look into it. I had not heard of 1619 Project before. But you have to understand that, one, there's two. One is Project 16 Incorporated. The other comes from an article in the New York Times magazine. And so they kind of sound similar, or they kind of sound similar, but there are two different entities. And one entity, the incorporated, will say, we're not associated with that entity that was with the New York Times because they were very criticized over their historical accuracy. I was raised, and a lot of you probably know, my mother's an attorney. She's been named one of the top 10 attorneys in the state of Missouri a couple times. And I was raised in a home where if you take a truth and you mix it with an untruth, the whole thing is an untruth. And we don't need to be teaching anything to our students that is not factual. And these organizations provide free material for teachers to pick up and distribute through the school. And I have caught wind that that has happened. Now, on what scale? I don't believe it's a big scale, but it is concerning. And there is a concern that should not be negated from the parental body of this community that loudly is speaking to me. We want to make sure. We're not teaching it now, no. But we want to make sure that we don't. We want to make sure we have classes that are accurate, history classes that are accurate, math classes that are going to promote students' function in the future from one stepwise grade level to another. I think a Common Core. I know that was challenging for me to look at when my daughters brought that home, and I thought, what is this? And some people liked it, and some people didn't. But when you have something like history, which can't be changed, yet you can take it and put a spin on it.
A different viewpoint.
Viewpoint sometimes are very inaccurate, and you try to push that for an agenda, then it becomes a problem. And I am not for that at all. And I think that the voice of the parents need to be heard. I think that it's loud to me. I am one of those parents, and that's where I stand on that. I have no problem teaching true and accurate history. None whatsoever. I have no problem whatsoever with a person of a different origin. None. I studied Japanese. I studied Japanese, and I had family members that were World War II vets. You can imagine what that produced. But I have no issue with people. I have an issue with an agenda pushed through and given to our children that changes their worldview in such a way that it becomes adverse and disruptive to their future and is a breakdown to really reality as to the facts of the world. And that's where I stand on that.
Would you like me to read it again?
You don't have to.
Okay.
This topic right here is exactly why I'm running for school board. I am not in favor of it at all. I am in favor of what, you know, the curriculum that's set forth, as I said earlier, with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that should be the only thing taught in the classroom. This topic right here with 1619 and critical race theory is very, very, and the word I read the other day was hyper-political is basically what this is. And I am 100% against politics being in the classroom whatsoever. I would agree with a lot what Toby said. I think based upon what I've talked with in the public, in the community in Trenton, as parents who have kids in the school district, the majority of the folks I've talked to are 100% against this being taught. Also, I've talked with several other people in the community who have basically told me that they're not for it either. They're totally against it. I even contacted a couple of our school administrators and some other school board members about this very thing. They've assured me that they would not be in support of this at all. Our history teachers are currently not teaching this, and would my understanding is they would not be for it as well. Nor are our administrators aren't for it either. The school board members said. They've all told me, in fact, some of them told me they didn't even know what 1619 Project was. Now, a couple others did say they had discussed the critical race theory briefly in a few meetings, but the consensus was that wasn't something that they were even had in the foresight that would be a problem or be an issue with our 9 district. So that's, like I said, that's exactly why I'm running for school board.
Joey, I have a question. Do you want to open it? Questions from these folks before I ask
any
individual questions, or do that person then?
Well, some of them are on there, but we could open it up to questions. But could we limit the response time to 2 minutes?
2 minutes? Is that okay with you guys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I might want to hear the question before they say that, but. I promise you I'm not going to run up there and knock you off your chair if you go over 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
I can't. No violence in schools, right?
I'm short.
She's not even smiling. That was a joke. That's proud.
Okay.
All right, so I have a couple of questions that are directed to each of you as individuals. So, Mr. Havens, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
In your Republican Times interview, you stated, a school board member's role should be primarily to represent the parent body within a district so as to ensure the best possible education and opportunities for the student population. Mm. Can you clarify that answer?
Okay. What part would you like clarified?
I didn't ask the question. So if I were to look at that and wonder, I'm wondering, how are you going to ensure that the best education and opportunities are made available to students as a board member?
Okay. Like I said, there's issues that cloud. We've talked about that. There's this issues that cloud. We need to kind of cut through that, give parents reassurance that the school board is here to work for them, because they are a major stakeholder. They are entrusting the district with their children 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, at extracurricular activities, sporting events, and FFA, different things like that. They're entrusting the teachers more than anybody to make sure their children are well educated. So the parents are a huge stakeholder. They need to be heard. They need to be heard. And instead of me coming up here as a parent with my agenda, which I'm like-minded with the community, with the majority of the community, as a school board member, I come up here and I am here for you, what you've told me as a parental body. How am I going to make sure that I represent them? By voicing them accurately, by listening to them carefully, and making sure that the issues that are of concern or that are at hand are dealt with appropriately in accordance with what they want. That doesn't negate teachers. It doesn't negate the student body, and it doesn't negate the other community members who are also interested or have a secondary vested interest in the school district. Does that clarify that?
Does anybody have further question on that, or state a question differently? Okay, I guess they feel okay with that. The next question, I don't want this to see, but I know it would. Okay, next one is for Mr. Spencer, and you kind of have already addressed this. So in your Republican Times interview, you stated that the teacher that teacher retention needs to be focused from the top down. Can you clarify that? I mean, you can reiterate what you said, or...
All I'll be doing is reiterating what I already said. I think it has to be looked at from the administration down. I truly believe that you may not be the top paid teacher in the country, but as long as you feel like that you're supported by the administration, that administration is pouring into you to help you become a better teacher, to further advance your career, whether you're making top money or not, I feel like if you feel like you're appreciated, then you more than likely will stay.
May I say something about that too, please? I think teacher colleges used to graduate a lot of teachers. They no longer do that. Some subject areas like science may only graduate 4 teachers in the whole state of Missouri. So there's not enough teachers to go around. And when we used to have an opening, we might get 15 to 20 people apply. Now we're lucky if we get 1 or 2. And sometimes we get 0, believe it or not. And those 1 or 2 that we might get may not even be qualified in the subject area they're applying for, and they have to take the first 2 years of teaching and get certified to teach. So that's what it is, and it's not just in our district. It's all over the state. So until maybe the state legislators know that teaching is in crisis and helps out in some way, whether it's to forgive a couple of years or 3 years of that student loan for teachers or something that would give them some incentive to major in teaching, that would really help us out if we could get some support that way.
And I'm just going to tell you guys, I don't know if everybody here understands how critical that is. I know from Maryville and St. Joe, those two universities, I believe they are, one is graduating one math person, and one is graduating like two science. They're not out there. Mm-hmm. And when she said take their first 2 years, there's a program called the Alternative Certification Program, and you can teach for 2 years under the Alternative Certification Program while you're going to school, and you teach on a probationary certificate. So you are certified, according to DESE and their countings, but they're also going to school while they're getting their certificate. So those of you who may not live and work in the field of education directly, it is dire. It is. It used to be, if you can't do anything else, you can teach. I don't know whoever said that, but I think we're finding out now that that's just not true. So it is a drastic, dire situation, and it's tough finding people because of some of the issues that you guys have been addressing. So I just wanted to point that out, that it sounds like we're just bringing people in off the streets to teach. That's not quite how it is, but almost. We're bringing them in, and we're sending them to school, and we're saying, hey, do this while you're doing that. And if you think the workload isn't heavy enough, imagine doing it that way. So, yes, it is difficult. Ms. Tall, there is one question specifically for you. It says, when asked by the Republican Times what your ideas were to enhance recruitment and retention in the R9 district, other than increasing salaries, you cited federal grants, college loan forgiveness, and legislative prioritization. As a school board member, is there something at the local level you can do to enhance recruitment and retention specifically mm-hmm. in this district?
For about 3 years, I've been talking about grow your own. And so we finally have a program in our school that we're working with. Dr. Watkins is working on Grow Your Own, where they meet with students and try to spark an interest to become a teacher when they're in high school. And then they work with them as they go. And then when they go off to college and become teachers, they can come back and teach for us in our district. Kind of boost them along and help them see all the things that would be good if they could become a teacher for us. So Grow Your Own is a new program that we finally got started that I'm really proud of.
Okay. And there is one more question for everyone. I didn't see it down here. The camera question?
Oh, okay.
I think we're to you, Mr. Higgins. What are your thoughts on cameras in classrooms?
I have a law enforcement background. Before that, I run a PI firm for 9 years. Since I was 17, I also did security and defense. I was on security detail for Governor Sarah Palin. When I was a police officer, I did not have a body cam for a while. And police officers face all sorts of different stuff. And I soon found out when I got a body cam how valuable that was to ensure and deter. I would not be opposed to cameras in the school. And I don't think that there needs to be anything in the classroom that someone would be afraid for someone to see if it were recorded. If there is that concern, I think we have another issue we need to address. They become beneficial. I teach my daughters to go out in public, act like you're on camera 24/7. Watch the behavior change. For the most part. It's not a guarantee on anything. But for the most part. I think people being under surveillance, it makes them nervous. And I don't feel like that necessarily is what that's about. To fully answer that question, I would have to ask, where's the need or the want or the desire for the camera coming from? And then we can explore all avenues as to, would this be a good thing or would this not be a good thing? What I am saying, baseline, or basically is, cameras aren't a bad thing. Cameras can deter a lot. Cameras can aid a lot. Cameras hold people accountable. That's why cops wear body cameras. It can also be a not good thing if it's coming from a place where there wants to be some micromanagement. And there's it adds a pressure to the classroom. That would not be a good thing. There are pros and cons to it. I would have to know where it's coming from. I really would, to answer that fully.
I would agree with what a lot Toby said. Obviously, I wear a body cam every day. My first question would be, before I could tell you whether I was for it or against it, what's the reasoning behind we want cameras in a classroom? Are we using it because we have a discipline problem? Are we using it because we have parents who want to be able to log into a portal and see what Johnny or Susie's doing at 10 o'clock throughout the day in their classroom? I'm not for that at all. And the reason I wouldn't be for something to that effect is, as a parent, it's none of my business what the other children in the classroom are doing. If somebody's struggling in math or science or something like that, that's none of my business what that kid's doing. The only one in that classroom that I'm concerned with is my own. So putting a camera in that classroom, again, I would have to know the reasoning behind it. And second of all, or third of all, I guess, I think teachers are under enough stress and pressure in the classroom right now. I'm not too sure by hanging a camera in there we're helping that one bit. Another question I would have is, what are you doing with the footage once you have it? Where's it going to? Who's going to be looking at it? Are we keeping it on file for so many weeks, months, years? I would have to definitely know what's the reason behind it and where did this even come from before I could even make a decision as to yes or no to support that. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions there that I would have to have the answer to.
I think basically it's probably coming from some parents that want to know what the teacher's doing in the classroom, or maybe they're wanting to get rid of a teacher, so they think if they have cameras in the classroom, they could see what's going on. Jeff's right. We don't have any reason to know what other kids are doing. There's privacy acts. I don't think that that's good for little kids or middle school or high school age kids. I don't think we need cameras in the classroom. I'd be against that.
Does anybody have a question that they would like to ask that hasn't been addressed, or clarification of something that was already said? Yes.
These candidates are going to be handling millions of dollars. I'd like to hear their business background or how they feel about handling the physical facilities of the R9 district and the monies.
Okay. We have staff that takes care and does all the reports to us, Nick. The budget comes out, and they go through the budget with us and explain all the categories and where the money comes from and where the money goes and what it's been spent for. And every month we see where we're spending money, because, yes, it's more money than all of us have in our bank accounts or in our lifetime every month that we spend. So the people that we hire, the superintendent is like our financial officer, and the principals are given so much money to spend in their building, and they know what they can spend and what they can't spend. And the facilities, our supportive services person this year is in charge of facilities. The principals gives them the things that need to be repaired and fixed in their buildings to keep our facilities up to par and in good condition. And they bring those to the board, and we hear the report, and then we approve to get things fixed. But as far as money and budgeting, it's just our home budget and the checkbook at home, the salary that I have to work with. I have no background in finance. Okay.
So just to add to the question, if I may, if there were a question about how money was being spent, because they can provide you all with the reports, one of the things he asked was your business background in doing that. As a board member, you can look at those reports and they can tell you this is what we spent, this is how we spent it, and this is what we're going to spend. If you have questions about that, what knowledge do you have to bring something like that forward?
Mm-hmm. We study those reports before we talk about them at the board meeting so we can ask questions. So we call ahead and ask any question that we want to do, or we go in and ask for a set-down report of what questions we have.
My turn?
Yes, please.
Your turn?
I can answer it. Go ahead.
Currently, I have passed some federal finance testing. It doesn't make me a finance guru. My thoughts on that, from seeing as a parent some things that money was spent on that made me raise my eyebrows, is common sense and wisdom. You can get that report and you can have the money, but if you don't vet the options for spending and really look at what you're spending it on and the long-term effect or the potential outcomes of that as an issue. And so wisdom, again, representing the parents and the teachers and what's best for the student, and not just being sold on a program or a system of some type, but actually having some knowledge and wisdom and thinking, what's the long-term effect going to be, what's the short-term effect going to be, and who am I representing and what are they wanting? Wisdom and common sense and good representation.
Well, for me, obviously I'm no financial guru either. I have had the experience with some financial budgeting in the past. Being a manager at the number one largest state park in the state of Missouri, we had a budget of about $3.5 million a year. So obviously we had a lot of budgeting we had to do there. We had a total of 27 or 28 different cabins. I had 80 hotel rooms. I had a full-blown store. I had a nature center. So I've been around the budgeting business a little bit when it comes to that. Again, as far as the district goes, just kind of using my own knowledge from different things that I've been involved with the park. Obviously, we had a lot of construction projects there. You know, I've been through the bidding process. I know what it is to seek bids for construction projects and things like that. So I do have a little experience in that area. To be the guy that knows everything, absolutely not. I don't think any of us do. That's why we hire superintendents and qualified people that do have that experience.
Also, we have to think about, when we spend money, can we afford it in the future? In 5 years, can we still pay for this program we've bought, or still pay this teacher's salary that we raised? So thinking in the future.
Right. Because thing that comes about with that is the COVID relief money that was handed out. Those are kind of one-time monies. And that was I spend a lot of time talking to teachers and school districts about, you might have that money right now, but if you put that into teacher salaries, or if you put that into programs that are reoccurring programs, you're not going to get that money every year. And so explaining how one-time monies can't be used, because you don't want to hire teachers to fill a spot now and then tell them next year, oh, sorry, we don't have that money this year.
And there's a school in Kansas now that's on the news every night that's cutting positions because their enrollment went down. And so now they don't have the enrollment.
Their state funding goes down.
Mm-hmm. State funding.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you for your question. Did you get the answer you were seeking?
Okay. That sounds satisfying.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
I have a question. It's kind of a tough one. Let's say the state sends down a curriculum that you know goes against the values of this community. Are you going to implement it anyway, or are you going to stand up and say no and face the consequences?
Who wants to start on that one?
I can answer that easily.
I would say when it comes down to it, that will come to the school board, and the school board will discuss it, and the 7 board members will make a decision whether to support that and teach that in our schools or not. But the state tells us what to teach. Everyone knows that.
Well, I would 100% defend that. If the taxpayers of this county were against it, I represent the taxpayers of this county as a member of the school board. And as a whole, if our community is against that, then I feel like that's my duty, because they elected me to the school board, I would represent them 100% at all cost.
I'm rowing the same canoe as Jeff. There is I'm a very, I don't know how to put this. I dealt with this when we had the mandates with the COVID masks. And I engaged some people who basically told me my rights did not matter as a parent. I was not happy with that at all. We live in a country with a constitution. We live in a place where the school board has some autonomy, some independence, and we should maintain it. We are here to represent the stakeholders. And so, no way would I vote for it if I knew that in representing you, the stakeholders said, we don't want that. There's no question in my mind, it's a no. That's my job, to represent you.
Okay. Can I add to that thought? Because there's going to be a lot of consequences if as a community, we say we're, and I'm with you on that thought, like, we got to stand up and fight for what we know is right and stand on our beliefs and our feelings. But we also have to be prepared for consequences. And if we go against the state and funding against the state, are we prepared as a community to replace that funding with our own? And so maybe that would be something to, how would you guys handle that situation also? Because we can do whatever we want. We can become a private school system. How would that, I mean, that's going to be something that, we stand up against the state, that we have to
lose. So what she's saying is, if you lose state funding because you're not willing to, for example, if they said, if you don't wear masks for the foreseen future, we will withhold your state funding, and the county said, yep, that's what we want, as a board member, how do you plan to keep the doors open without state funding?
Well, I think that's something that very obviously could probably happen. I think the current administration of our country has almost tried to do that already at several different points. And for me personally, my morals and ethics are not for sale. I believe that our people in this community would come together and we'll find a way to keep the school doors open. You know, there's plenty of us out there that maybe don't have teaching degrees, but we'd be more than willing to come to school and, if we can teach a class. A lot of us have been substitutes at different times. But again, me personally, we'll find a way. This community always comes together. It always has on everything. But like I said, my morals and ethics are not for sale.
It's a scary thought. But it boils down to what? Money. And what is money? And I have strong thoughts as to what money is. I don't value money. I use money. Money's a tool. I use money. It's part of our system. But what is more valuable is independence, is community. And what is community?
Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I don't. from what they say, they might be saying something that if we have to wear a mask, we're not going to accept Missouri tax money. Is that what you're saying?
Not accepting it. There have been threats from the government mm-hmm. that they would withhold
tax money if you don't.
They won't provide the state mm-hmm. money.
You got to remember as a
ever happened, but there mm-hmm. were threats of it.
Yeah. And see, in my heart, I don't believe that would ever happen. That's the way I think. But you got to remember, board members are one vote, and there's seven board members. So those seven people, majority vote.
But we want to know how you would vote.
You want to know how I would vote. It doesn't bother me to wear a mask, okay? When we had to wear a mask, I wore a mask. It didn't bother me.
I just used masking as an example, mm-hmm. though.
That's why I'm thinking maybe you mean something else, because I might agree on something else. But as something as minor as wearing a mask, that doesn't
make
me think that that we would say.
I think what you meant was, as a whole, if the state was going to withhold funding to the school, whether it's a mask mandate or whatever it could be, you were talking as a whole, correct?
Yes, I was.
Okay. I think it would be any topic that she's kind of insinuating there. If the state, if the state pinned down a mandate, or you have to do this or do that in order to receive state mm-hmm. funding, but the taxpayers or the community were against that, I think what they're getting at, the way I understood this, are we going to vote what the state wants us to vote, mm-hmm. or
I just don't know how we could raise that amount of money in our county to support our school if we did not accept tax money. That's what I'm getting at. Practically, right. My brain tells me I don't know how we would raise that money.
A hypothetical like that would be difficult to answer. Mm-hmm. But what I think you guys hear their what the insinuation is.
Anybody else? Question. Yes. I'm going to ask as a taxpayer, not a reporter. I hear everybody, all three of you, saying the voice of the taxpayers, what the community wants. How do you guys find out what the community wants? Is it who calls you? Do you ask people that you think might have a different opinion? Is it your church? I mean, you two have talked about your church. Is it your church? Is it your kids? How do you determine? Because we have a wide variety. Mm-hmm. I just had a group of people not from our country move into my neighborhood. I guarantee you they have a different ideas about things. Mm-hmm. We are a community. We are becoming a more diverse community all the time. How do you determine what the morals and values and opinions of the community are?
Can I take that?
Sure.
I will actually reach out. If there's something pending and I'm in that position, I want to know. And I'll reach out. What do you want? I love one-on-ones, but I also love to hear people talk, in a group. And I don't know that we have that per se, but if I can reach out to get. I reached out to some administration to understand. What is the collective consensus from your understanding on this subject? I don't wait for somebody to come to me necessarily on a pending issue. I want to be out there in the community. Not only should they be able to call, email, text, whatever, but I want to be out there. I want to be seen. I want them to know that I want to know. So tell me. That's why we have this. That's why we open it up for your questions. Because I want to know.
I ask questions, too. But I ask students that are in the classroom with the teachers what they think and what they're being educated on and their opinions about things. But I get a lot of calls and texts and emails. I will admit to that. But people stop you in high beam and talk to you about things. Today in
Hy-Vee. I was going to say, just being out mm-hmm. in the community, I think,
at sporting events.
Sporting events,
yeah,
you attend school events. People are
going to
talk to you. You're going to find out what's going on. Trent's a relatively small community. Mm-hmm. You always find out what people are wanting and what they think.
Okay, we told the lady who took care of the building tonight that we would be out of here by 8. So in order for you to all get a statement, I want to kind of wrap this up. I want to say thank you for coming tonight and answering the questions, and thank you for coming tonight and listening and asking questions. And I also, as a representative for what I do, I encourage teachers all the time to go to board meetings. And I know it's just one more meeting, but I'm telling you, it is important, and it's important to the board members that they see you there, not just in March when we're talking about salaries, or your daughter didn't get on the cheer squad, or your son's not playing enough football. I mean, I've heard it all. I'm from Rockport. I've lived in Maryville my whole life. I get it. I understand why people are on school boards. But they make a lot of decisions, and it is a thankless job. And I ask you to support them and go to those meetings. And I also challenge you as teachers, educators in this room, send your kids that are doing really cool things. Ask if they can present something to the school board, because one of the questions that was asked was, who are your stakeholders? The very first thing that came to my mind is your students. No, they don't pay taxes. Their parents do. But the students are the stakeholders here. They're the ones who come here every day and make this building what it is. And you need to see them. You need to hear from them. You need to know what they're doing. And when they are put on stage, I promise you, they will amaze you, because they are amazing people that do amazing things. And so send those kids. And teachers, you're not good enough at tooting your own horns. You're not. You do great things every single day, but they don't see that because they're not in your classroom. So toot that horn and ask for time to let the school board know what awesome things are happening in your classroom and how cool those kids are and how smart they are. Everybody wants to complain about our education system in this country today. I'm going to tell you, they are wrong. They're wrong. Kids are far smarter than we give them credit for. But nobody asks them. We let them sit on their phones in their rooms, and we don't ask them. Put them on Front Street. Let them perform. You will be amazed. Okay. You want to hand those out, or how do you want to do that?
They can just come out and leave. I'll just be over here, and they can grab them.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming, folks.
Can I say thank you for having us up
thank
here?
You.
Done.
Thank you.